Okay. Good afternoon. This is LaVarne Williams. This is the National Finance Committee of Pacifica National Board. And our meeting is scheduled to run this evening at beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And this is LaVarne Williams, so welcome to the call. Our secretary, Casey McFall, is here, and if Casey can take the roll call.
Okay, Betty Ocko?
Here.
Rawline? Adelson?
Here.
Williams?
Present.
Gatewood?
Present.
Hicks?
Here.
Heffley?
Here.
Weinman? McFall is here. Pickert? And Lane?
Did you call Rollin?
I did.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm having a hard time hearing.
Okay.
There's eight present.
Okay. Thank you very much, Casey. And again, would like to welcome everyone to the meeting and apologize for 2 weeks ago. I was still recovering from my bout with the food poisoning that happened there in L.A. So, and I'm sort of back to where I was before the food poisoning. And I won't say normal, but I'm in recovery. So, my apologies. I thought I'd sent out the agenda when I sent out the cancellation, but I see I did not. But I did send it out today. I don't know if everyone had an opportunity to go in and pull it off of their computer, but we have sent it out. And can I ask if the individuals who haven't had an opportunity to look at it? Oh, so everyone has? Okay, thank you very much. So what I would like to do then is to ask for if there are any changes, revisions, or additions to the agenda that we would like to add at this time. Yes, Dave, please.
Yeah,
Dave?
I'd like to do the review of financials before we do all the stuff with motions, so put it after the approval of minutes.
Okay, so you want to move it up to number four?
Yes, please.
Okay. Are there any objections to that?
No.
Discussion? Okay.
This is Jane.
Sure, please.
I just am looking at this for the first time. So the budget calendar, can we move that up in the agenda?
Where would you like that? Because that was like a status. So it's at H4H. You'd like to.
Yeah, I feel like we need some discussion of that. I would like it to be one of the first things in the meeting.
Okay. So would you like it before or after the review of the financials? In fact, I had not updated the financials based on what Lonnie had sent out. So where would you like that? Before or after the review of the financials?
Could we have it as 4A?
Sure. Instead of H? Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Lonnie?
Could we put budget priorities, just an update on that at some point? Maybe part of the CFO report or something like that?
Budget priorities? Isn't that...
That's part of the budget calendar, isn't it?
Yes, that would be part of the time
or
the calendar.
Oh, I was hoping to get a sense of where people were in that process.
Right, that's exactly what we'd added this to make sure it was on the calendar. I believe that
okay.
Sandra had asked for that, so that's why that's on there. So you'd like that moved up to 4A and then just move the others down?
Yes, that's okay.
Clarification?
Sure, Dave.
When you're saying 4A, do you mean are we going to do the review of financials before we do that, or are people wanting to do that before we do the review of the financials?
I believe it was after. Is there...
Okay, the first thing after we review the financials.
Yeah.
Right.
Great.
Okay. Are there any other changes, updates, additions? Okay, then great. Okay. Didn't get a chance to talk with you, Casey, before the meeting. But, oh, I'm sorry, scheduling of next meeting. That's next. Look at the agenda. Oh, I'm sorry. Are there any other changes, updates? So we would like to move to accept the agenda. Okay, so the agenda has been accepted with the following changes. The review of the financials, we'll move that up to number four. And then, which now becomes number five, is the status of motions, and 5A will be the motion, the budget calendar timeline. Okay, so are there any objections, or, I mean, in terms of moving to approve the agenda, or any other discussions? Okay, well, so moved. Okay, so the scheduling of the next meeting of the Finance Committee, I believe we had a tentative calendar on the Finance Committee, and that was, the fourth Thursday of the month?
That'd be the 25th.
Yes. Is that a good time? Any objections, changes?
The only thing about that is I think they're saying that they want the reports for the board packets due the preceding Friday.
The 19th?
That's what I think Greg was telling me. So I'm not sure if we want to have it on the 18th, although even so, you'd have to write your report and get it to them by the next day.
In terms of meeting the 18th.
Or we can send it around electronically and bring it to the meeting.
Yeah, we could do that. And have the meeting 2 weeks from today.
I'm saying we could do 3 weeks from today on the 25th, or we could do it on the 18th.
Right. Any preferences? I would say, I would suggest the 25th myself.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. Can you give us the dates of the PNB meeting again, Dave?
The 2nd, June 2nd through the 4th.
Okay, so that's in New York City.
New York.
Okay. So then the meeting is scheduled for the 25th. I can't get on and put it in line. I thought I'd put it on the calendar for the 25th. Do you have access to your computer, Dave?
Can you just check?
A little earlier, the
calendar was... Oh, there we go. Okay. No, it's not there.
Okay, if you could just put it in. When I was doing all of the other stuff and I was talking with John, I guess I had all those things prepared to do.
8 p.m.
Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay. Finance, teleconference, the same number?
Yes, or, I used a number, I just picked it up from an old memo, or we can go to the other number that we have. So, yes.
Okay.
So.
All right, I'll put that on there.
Okay. Okay, great. So the next meeting of the Finance Committee of Pacifica Foundation is May the 25th, 2006, at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. And like I said, I apologize, Casey, for not getting with you earlier. But do we have minutes to review, and we can move that to the next meeting?
Yes, you have minutes for the last meeting, which was March 20th. They were sent out to you on March 20th.
Right, sure were. Okay, I'm sorry. It's I have not taken. So has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes? Can someone speak, please?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure. Which minutes are we talking about?
March the 20th. And I'll have to find them here. Okay, so then, Case, at this point, then I would move that we all review them and schedule them for the next meeting on May the 25th. Are there any objections? Okay, then, so moved. Okay, and now we're at last, review of the financials. So this was like the agenda that I made up earlier, but Lonnie had sent out April financials. So let me just get kind of like see what people think. I mean, what would you like to review first? Which month, or do you want to go straight to April, or do you want to look at something in March, or there's some items in I'm not sure if we had an opportunity to even look at February. Only briefly, I believe, we did look at some February numbers. So let me know.
Dave.
Do you want to look or Dave, please?
Can I make
This
is Jane. I'd like to get on the stack.
Okay, great.
Patty,
too, on the stack.
I was looking at the April numbers. I don't see any reason not to go with the most recent numbers. The thing that stuck out to me was the Pacifica Radio Archives budget being far behind, basically, and the National Office is covering. It looks like National is giving
169,000. Okay, just a second, Dave. So your preference is for April. So let me get the other people who wanted to speak before we go into the numbers. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Jane.
I really haven't had a chance to look over these to the degree I would like you to be involved with the discussion. So, I mean, I will be listening. I'll be looking at it as people bring up other things. But I just want to make I want to address one I have one basic question, which is, are we for the first quarter, the one October through December,
yes,
and the second quarter, January through March?
Right.
I really don't know that I have. I don't know that I have up to date copy. The most recent one, the January through March, the one that was sent out to us a few weeks ago, was using the projected numbers for March. So, are we going to have a quarterly report within the next day or two that will be using real numbers for March, Lonnie?
These are the numbers for March within 1%. They're actually mostly their numbers that we had for March, which was we knew the salaries, we knew the revenue, and we knew most of the line items for March. I'll have another look as soon as the service back up, which will be now in about a week. But I don't expect major changes for March or April. We just did it by hand.
For those who are not familiar, I'm sorry, Pat. I'd like to go back to that after Patty speaks. Or Jane, were you through?
No, I just wanted to be sure I understand. So the report that you sent out a few weeks ago that you called pro forma, that is the one that you're saying is probably within 1% on anything that we can pretty much go with that, and it's not going to change much when you get the actual.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. We reviewed that very carefully, and we use actual numbers for the most part. We have that data. We just don't have the accounting package to enter the data in.
I see. Okay. And then I've had a hard time with this new format. I really haven't quite mastered looking at it yet. So what I'm calling first quarterly report, is that going to, the April report, is that going to, well, never mind, pass on this question. I'm going to try to look at it. Maybe it'll all become clearer as I'm looking. I'm done.
Okay. Patty?
Hello? Yes, thank
we
you.
Hear you.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just a little confused here. Lonnie, could you please explain to me a couple of things? One, the system is down. What are the last actual numbers from this system? Is that the Great Plains system?
Yeah.
What are the last, what's the last actuals from that system?
February.
Okay. If that's the case, it's been down since then?
Yeah, each time we thought we'd have it go back up, something went wrong, and we're realizing that the software is so bad and out of date that we're going to have to upgrade the software. We just haven't done it, I don't know, since I've been here.
Okay. And, I'm sorry.
And also, the server is in Washington, and it's an old server, an old computer. And so right now, as I think I reported out at the last board meeting when we were talking about updating and upgrading the software for Rudy, and we were talking with our consultant about doing just that. So we are now looking at not just restoring the old server and the old software, but upgrading both the server and the software, so we have a much more reliable system than we have now. And we did have a backup plan. The backup plan was to be able to publish these financials with accuracy. If the server goes down, that plan's always been in place. So we just kicked in our plan B, and that's the numbers that we have that we're publishing in March and April.
Okay, and can you tell me what we're using for that?
Yeah, well, you know, let's take revenue. We know what the revenue
is. Pardon me. It must be a program, right? I mean, are you not doing it by pencil on paper, are you?
We're doing it in Excel.
Oh, so you're doing it in Excel now instead of in this. So we're doing it in Excel as the backup plan?
Yeah.
We've been doing that since February?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. Almost every accounting department does have a backup plan in case the server or the computers go down. And that is to publish the financials usually in Excel. And they take the raw data, that is, we know the revenue for the month. We have that on paper, but not in the system. And we have the salaries because we paid those salaries in every station. We know what those numbers are. And we enter them in Excel and we publish.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, in terms of, other than the salary line, how are you guys doing the OTPS stuff? The non-technical is that, other than salary, like the rent, the supplies, the paper, how do you guys summarize that data?
Yeah, well, what we do is a lot of the line items, what I call line items, are pretty much the same every month. You know, the rent, the facilities, the free speech radio, and there's a lot of that stuff is the same because it's accrued. So it's accrued over a month. So it doesn't change very much. What does change is individual expenses that might be extraordinary and are not normally in a given month. And call the business managers and we go over any extraordinary expenses for a given month and we've entered them into Excel. And that way we capture it. Basically, we look at, for example, let's take something that does vary quite a bit, maybe telephone. What we'll do is we'll look at, we have six, seven months worth of data. So we take an average of that previous 7 months and use it for, in this case, April. But it'll be pretty close, unless there's something really extraordinary happened with telephones, which most of the time is not the case. So that's really how we come pretty good confidence we'll be pretty close to the numbers within that 1%.
I have another question about my station in particular, but is this the time for that, or...
I'd like to ask a couple of questions about the software in terms of when do we...
Okay.
Anyone else?
Casey.
Okay, Casey.
Oh, thank you. Lonnie, I have a couple questions, too, about the process without the system, because we had some questions at our station about some of the bills that came in. For example, you know, we're switching over our telephone system. And when we got the bill, we saw some extra charges that we thought were, you know, like $5,000 that were other charges. And we tried to call and tried to look at things. And then when we tried to look at backup numbers or numbers from previous months, what staff was saying was they can't, since the system's been down since February, they aren't able to access any financial data other than their bills and purchase orders. So... is the process then that you're just taking this average and then, as Baruti was asking, are they giving you numbers over the phone? How's that working?
Yeah, if you've got, where you've got actual invoices and bills?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were trying to go back and get an average for something that we couldn't because our bills for 1 month were way high.
Yeah. Well, in some cases where I could get that information, I got the people had the bills, for example, for March, or we had the bank statements for that matter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we did that, but when we were trying to go back then and look at, like, actuals against budget and all of that kind of thing,
yeah.
What staff at the station is saying is they haven't been able to access anything at all, that they can't get into a system, so the only thing they have are their... is the actual paper. They don't have. They can't even get in the system to see where we are.
That's true. They cannot. It's been down. We've published February from the system. so they haven't been able to access in March and April. But they do have the bills, the invoices.
Right.
And those invoices added up we'll place in the Excel spreadsheet, and we're looking at those as a basis for the entries in March and April.
Okay, but so that's my question then. Are the station staff putting that in Excel and sending it to you, or are you putting it in Excel?
In the case of March and April, my staff and I are putting it in Excel and checking with the station to see if the numbers make sense from what they've got on their invoices.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking that is that we had on the period ending February financial statements, which I understand are real numbers, correct?
Yes.
Okay. When we looked at this, we saw, like, in our consultant line item that we were over by 400. So that concerned us, and I went in to ask about that.
Wait, Casey, can you repeat what you said, because you broke up for a second?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So one of the things that we've been looking at the February statements, and I'm not trying to get into numbers so much as understand the process, is that when we looked at our consultant line item, for example, we were almost 400% variance, overspent. So when I went in to ask about that, the staff said, no, that's impossible. We didn't put that in. That must be something National added. They think maybe it was legal consultants or something that they don't know about. So I'm still trying to understand the process as to how expenses are booked, and how, I mean, if our staff doesn't know why we've got $36,000 in consultants, then there's still stuff is being put in onto the books by National, correct?
Well, I remember that consultant issue, and I think it's in my February report. Those consultants that they were using at the time were two accounting people, remember?
Yeah, those are the temporary accounting?
Yeah, they had two people in that position that were temporaries in the consulting line item.
Right, and so now what I'm asking is not necessarily specific to the consultants. I'm trying to understand the process.
Well, let me go over just the consulting thing, because that's where that big variance showed up. And if you look at my February report, I put an asterisk beside that consulting line item. Because what happened was they had two of the consultants there, and between the time I wrote that report, doing a forecast, if they continue to use the consultants, two consultants, they would be overspending consultants. Within the next month, they made a change. One of the consulting guys went away.
Right.
And therefore, it changed the forecast. So that if you look at the subsequent reports, the consultant line item doesn't have the big variance anymore.
Okay.
And I got that information from them. I said, will you be using these consultants till the end of the year? At that point, they couldn't say. But then a month later, they did make a change where they weren't using the consultant, so the forecast changed, and therefore the variance.
Okay.
That's how I get the information that I use.
Right. Okay. So as I said, I'm using that consultant line item as an example of how what I'm trying to understand in the process. And so, in that process, when station staff says that they booked it on another line item and National must have changed it to the consultant line item. I'm still trying to understand what gets booked locally, what National changes, moves, and what that process is for notifying us.
Well, under normal circumstances, all items are booked by the station. We don't book any at National except stuff that we know about, like insurance bills. But all entries are done locally.
Okay, but then they do get moved by National from line item to line item if you think it's more appropriate. Is that correct?
No. The only thing that I do is all the line items for the month are entered by the station, usually by the business manager. What I do that may be confusing matters is that I do a forecast for this board and this committee, and that forecast is based on what additional expenses that are coming up in the months ahead, in the next 5 months. If the business manager or the general manager says, well, I will be hiring someone in 3 months, then I put that in my forecast. I send it out to review for everyone before it goes to finance committee. I said, here is what your information looks like. Please review it. I sent it to the business managers, and I sent it to the general managers for review. But that's what that forecast is designed to do, give the board, finance committee, an idea of what upcoming spending is going to look like. Now, all previous spending is done at the local level, and all the entries are done by people at the local level.
Is Patty?
I'm sorry, Casey, were you there?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Okay. Patty?
Just one question. So has we done an actual bank reconciliation since February?
Yes, that's what we do. We go back where we can verify from a bank statement. We check these numbers. Yes.
Yeah, but is that a bank reconciliation? Have we reconciled the bank statements or just we've looked at the numbers?
Well, where the business managers can reconcile from the data they have, that is to say the invoices, they do the reconciliation, yes. But we get a copy, too, and that's how we confirm whatever numbers they come up with. We will see if the numbers they place in this case that are in the system actually match with the bank statements. But you usually have to wait 3-4 weeks for the bank statement to come in some cases. Not all cases. Now, in some cases, we can actually go in and look at the accounts for a given station and verify any numbers we might see that people are producing. So, yeah, I'll give you an example. Revenue. If a station says they raised $1 million in a given drive, how do we know that's true? If they just place that number in the accounts, well, you don't know if that's true. You have to have a confirmation process. What we do is we will get the bank statement, look at the actual bank statement, see if the deposits near that amount have, in fact, been made. And we'll check it against also the MEMSIS reports to confirm whatever numbers people are putting in the book. And that's how we are able to verify what people happen to put in the account. And without them putting in the accounts, we do the same thing. We look at the bank statement and see if they match with what revenue people are reporting.
I'm not sure why then we're spending $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 for Great Plains software if we can do it without it. Maybe we should go to QuickBooks or something and be done with this and stop this. If we're doing fine without it, why do we need it?
Well, there are lots of reasons, Patty. I know it occurs to people when they say, well, if you can publish without it, why bother spending the funds? Well, there are a couple of reasons. A, it's required by many funding sources that we have an auditable accounting system. That is to say, well, we do have Great Plains in this case. They require it. They don't like to deal with hand data. They want to be able to look into an accounting system, see the audit trail, see who made entries, and verify those entries in the conduct of an audit. So that's one of the major reasons why there are these huge accounting systems. The second reason is that doing it by hand takes hours and hours. So not all that practical to do as much as we do by hand on a permanent basis. So it's better. Then we've got people dispersed in, you know, 5 different cities. And it's efficient to have people in one software package as opposed to doing 5 different reports and then somehow trying to bring all those together. So those are some of the reasons.
Can I ask another question?
Sure. You're ready.
In terms of the bank rec, Lonnie, isn't it true that that's a local responsibility?
Yes, it is. But we have to, that is a local. We don't even know what's in these bank accounts. That's why we wait for the bank statement so we can verify that what people are saying in the accounts is actually true.
I guess to get to what I think Patty was trying to get to, really, each station would have to ask their business managers if they're able to do any kind of reconciliation. But it sounded like it would be difficult because they don't have a book balance because there's no books for them to look per se. It's something similar to what Lonnie is saying.
Hang on, you're breaking up. Bertie, you're breaking up. Could you repeat that, please?
Now, I was saying it sounds like Patty's question really has to be directed to the local business managers because they're the ones who are actually doing the bank rec, which would be difficult under the circumstances unless they're keeping some sort of running Excel spreadsheet of what, you know, the checks received and the deposits made. They wouldn't really have a book balance per se, you know what I mean, in order to reconcile too. So
It varies from station to station, Brudy. Some stations are able to do it quite easily because they keep a running tab in Excel on their
channel. Right.
You know, and some of them print out all of the entries they have made so they can refer back to those entries to get their opening balances over, in this case, for 2 months.
That's kind of how the cash and capital process got in place, is that they absolutely do have to do that because receiving that amount of cash, and you have to know what you have in the bank at all times.
Yeah, and the deposits that you're making, so they know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would just like to know, that this is May, and that you appear to have, like, April numbers, and it's like, you know, just the, whatever date this is, the 4th of May. So, and you said that you'd make a lot of accruals, so it seems like you're able to close the books.
I knew you would say that.
We're not satisfied with saying everything is within 1%. I mean, that's not good. Well, that's as good as you can do because of the issues that we're working with the software.
Yeah.
But again, you're able to close the books within a week. So.
Oh, yeah, well, no books to close. I'm just doing it on Excel, you know. I have to go back. What will have to happen now is I go back to March and April, and I'll verify every number we have there with the actual invoices working with those business managers. But I'm confident that those numbers will be closed, and then I'll...
So quick, excuse me now. I don't mean to interrupt you, but so when do you think this is going to happen? Because you know, like you're saying, in terms of funding and sources, we need to make something happen soon. We can't continue to do this. So, what is a good estimate, and what would we do? Would we upgrade Great Plains? How long is that going
to
take?
Yeah, right now the plan is to rather than just try to reproduce some faulty software on a bad server. Is to upgrade the server and upgrade the software. And then we're looking at having a web-hosted accounting package so we don't have to go through breakdowns in servers and have to go through software that's out of date because it would be constantly kept up to date on a web-hosted site. That's what we're looking at now.
Those options, I mean, do you want to give the names of the options at this time? Or I mean, because you're just buying it off the shelf. I mean, it's not like you have a... you have an RFP for a company to come in and do this work, is it?
We've been looking at new software, various software packages for, I don't know, almost a year.
Right, because I initially sat in on some of the discussions with you and Rudy. Right.
And we decided at this point, we're at that point of thinking that we got Great Plains 6, and we think that it's probably better and cheaper to upgrade to Great Plains 9. We looked at Blackbaud, we looked at AccuPack, we looked at Platinum, we looked at a lot of accounting packages, and talked to it with all the business managers, and basically the consensus was it's simpler, easier to upgrade our current software, less training time, and also less expensive than going to an entirely new accounting package. And the features that are offered in the upgrade seem something that people really liked. And so the idea at this point, after we get the data updated and verify its integrity, is to move to the decision to upgrade to new upgraded accounting package, in this case Great Plains 9, and we're on Great Plains 6.
Okay, so when do you plan to get the new server, and will it continue to be in Washington, or what is the plan there?
Well, we already are downloaded data to here in Berkeley.
Okay.
So we don't have to worry about somebody resetting the server in Washington. It's been a problem.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to, have the data in Berkeley on our servers, which are fairly new. The ones in D.C. are older ones.
Oh, okay.
And take it from there, it's the cheapest way to go. The price tag at this point is like $20,000 to $23,000. And, I'll bring that back once I get some real numbers. But right now, that's an estimate. And then I've got to go find those funds. I'll come to the finance committee and say this is the final price tag. We go through our little work group and have one more look at it before we make any final decisions. But that's how it's looking. It makes sense to solve the problems that brought our system down in the context of upgrading.
And when does the time frame, when do you think this is going to happen?
Boy, I know people have really, really been patient. It's 2 to 3 weeks,
from today.
Ready. And we've got data now. Sitting on the Berkeley server, what we have to do is test it for integrity, and we have to update because some of the data for that period, March and April, would have to be hand-entered, so it'll take a while.
So are you still planning to have, we had talked about the business manager at KPFA as training for Great Plains, Lois?
Yes. Lois is great because Lois has some procedures because she trained on Great Plains, got certified in Great Plains, and I want to make sure all our business managers are following some of the procedures that she has used. Because one of the things we did learn is that different people at different stations have different procedures, and it makes, you know, recapturing the data more difficult if people don't have uniform procedures. So I'm going to be asking her to help people all use the same uniform procedures that apply to Great Plains.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask a Baruti question then. So we're going to have a uniform chart of accounts, and that's going to be something you can that we will be able to see and that we can get a copy of also?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, we talked about that. So upgrading at the same time, we would clean up that chart of accounts and try to make that more uniform than it has been in the past. So we're trying to take care of some of the outstanding issues in the process of fixing this thing.
Okay. Thank you, Lonnie. So are there any other questions about this that we can get right into the discussion of the financials? And we're going to look at April, that's correct? Okay. Would you guys like to begin? Questions? I know, Dave,
yeah.
Do you want to begin?
Yes.
Okay, please.
The thing that stuck out at me when I was looking at it, it looks like everybody's reasonably close, although I guess BAI is below what's expected on operating, but the bequest is putting them over, and even on operating, they look like they're net positive. But the one thing that jumped out at me was this $170,000 that is that National Office is providing to the Pacifica Radio Archives. And so it looks like Pacifica Radio Archives is about $170,000 behind in their support, that you guys are ahead on your fundraising, and that there's a transfer of $170,000. Could you talk about that a little?
Yeah, we've been doing that for two or three years now. The system that we've set up is that for budgetary purpose, we have folded the PRA and the National Office together, and we actually support them to in terms of whatever they might need in terms of having enough budget to work with. And we show it, as was requested. I think a couple of years ago we started showing exactly how much that was, and it shows down in cash and capital. And you'll see that what we put out is shown as income for them.
Okay.
This year, their on-air drive was not as successful as they had wanted it. They're about 40 or 50,000 short of their budget goal. So we're looking to subsidize that. At the same time, looking for revenue sources between now and September to make it up. And out of that came the idea for From the Vault, where we think that From the Vault can be a good premium, and that they've started discussions to see if there's a way to if there's any interest some of the satellite radio companies in that particular show, because From the Vault, apparently they have four that they've done, and we're hoping to make up some revenue that way.
Well, that's exactly a source of concern for me, because From the Vault is essentially requiring them to pay a producer to produce it, and one of my concerns is the question of whether the archive, the way they're spending money in the archives, is maximizing the usefulness of the archives to the network and to the community. And, you know, I know how long it takes to produce something, how much effort it takes. And I'm eventually curious, I'm talking to people on the archives committee, because I'd like to know what's the relative effort spent on that versus making content available to other producers. And in particular, whether or not we have licensing arrangements that if we make it available to other producers that we get to use and distribute their cuts on, you know, what they do with that content. But all that notwithstanding, you guys, I mean, what you told me about that transfer, that was budgeted. I mean, there was a 58, let's see, what is it? There was a transfer from the National Office that was budgeted at $60,000. So that was in the budget, but the point is it went over by $170,000. So am I correct that what happened was you guys made more, what it looks like is you made more money on your development in the national office than you had budgeted, and that's where that money came from. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you look at the national office, you see we exceeded budget by
138.
Yeah, and we basically transferred that over to PRA. And the other goal that we had for PRA was to give them a 1 month operating, because they needed that too. And you see, that's one of the things that is there to produce, to get to the budget, but also to have enough cash left over for things like looking at other ways to invest to increase revenue. So that's what, that was the goal. That's one of the reasons we're doing it that way. You know, Archives is in a revenue crunch of coming from two or three different sources. I'm sure you know the story, Dave, but you know, they're looking at income coming from the affiliates. They were looking at some sales that they're now looking at competition from Democracy Now. I had the discussion with them just yesterday, and they lost revenue with $70,000-$80,000. And you can see, if you look up in sales, you'll see that their sales have dipped over the last two or three years. So they're looking for ways to replace that revenue. And the on-air revenue, too, is not as high as they had budgeted. So
that brings me to the question of whether, are we done for the year in terms of the scheduled on-air fundraising for them? Is that why you can really project what it's going to be for the year? Or is there another on-air drive scheduled, fundraising appeal scheduled, such that if that goes wrong, there might be another dip needed from you guys?
Done for the year, but Greg and Brian and I were talking about doing two on-air next year, which would be early in the fiscal in November. So they would be actually in good shape if they did two on-air solicitations. That is to say, you'd have another $180,000, they wouldn't need subsidy, they'd be whole. And so there's Greg was saying that he thought that it was real necessary for them to look at two on-air presentations, and it solves a lot of problems if they do that. It makes up for a lot of revenue they've lost from other sources.
I'm on the call, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. I've been on for about 15 minutes, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Dave, are there other issues?
I have a couple of little things that I'll defer. It looks like WPFW is doing great.
When you talk about certain line items, if you're looking at it on the computer, could you kind of like tell what line items that you're talking about?
Sure. AA 944 says the PFW is ahead by basically 50,000, or which amounts to 25% over, which is fabulous. I was wondering why that is, if you have any sense of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, should I just do 2 or 3 minutes, just hit some of the big issues that I see in these financials? Just a couple of minutes.
I'm sorry, what is the request? You want each person to ask, or would you or just look at the
I just wanted 2 or 3 minutes to give some of the major points I see in these financials. So might anticipate some questions.
Okay, two or three minutes, that's fine.
Well, you know, I have a concern over the cash flow. So see, even as these numbers on paper might look okay, there are two or three issues in connection with these numbers. One of them is that, as I mentioned in my CFO report, that many stations will not, in fact, have their 1 month. We didn't budget for the 1 month, as you recall. You can see from here that we only budgeted $919,000 or so. So that meant that we came into the year understanding that we wouldn't have the 1 month. So that means that even though we are a little bit ahead of that pace for 919, we still are not at the 1 month. That's of concern. It'll start to be worrisome toward the end of in September, October, when the cash that'll be needed, unless something happens between now and then, we might be a bit short for several stations. The second point is that even though, in the case of WBAI, in the case of KPFA, each one of them has gotten a fairly large sum of money in the form of a behest, like KPFA got $100,000. Gift. But that's not cash, and it's spread over 5 years. So what you have to do is subtract, you know, 4/5 of that $100,000, because they're not going to receive all of that money. and from their bottom line, because that means they won't have that cash, even though the bottom line sort of gives the impression that it'll be there. Same thing would be true for KPFA, where they've gotten huge sums, potential gifts, one at $350,000, another for $250 or so. But the $350 is not cash. It's restricted, can only use the interest. So there's no usable cash, even though the number appears on the page, which is required in accounting that we accrue it and show it. But you have to take the bottom line a number with that caveat, that the cash, it would have, the lack of a cash would be something you'd have to take into consideration in looking at their bottom line. So that is the first issue, cash, and the 1 month. The second issue is that of the listener numbers. That revenue is fairly flat, as you can see, for the network and for the stations. And people sometimes say, well, if it's flat, that's good. What's the problem here? Well, the problem is that if we budget for next year, and even this year, expenses will not be flat. Certain expenses will go up despite our best efforts. That is for insurance and health care. Those things go up 8, 9, 10% sometimes. So expenses won't go up. And, of course, the union contracts will come on fully annualized for next year. So flat revenue in that scenario is not good. And that may mean that we will really have to look at our expenses, and that means salaries, because that's one of the major expenses we have. We don't control insurance. That's hard to control that. We don't control health care unless we're willing to do something very different in that area. So the second point I'm making is that next year, and we've done mock budgets. I've done mock budgets for each station to show folks what next year looks like. I'm going over it with the business managers, and we started to strategize around how you can produce a balanced budget next year, because expenses will be up, but revenue will not. So those are some of the big issues that we'll be struggling with as we look to do the budgets and the budget priorities.
Okay, thank you very much.
Can I follow up on that with one thing?
Sure.
Yeah, so I was looking at KPFA in particular, and I see on line 334, column AA, that they're projected to be 233,000 behind their projection in the operating. After cash and capital, it comes down. But I assume that cash and capital includes that bequest you were talking about.
Yeah, it does. It's actually up in the operating side. But, you know, they got this legal expense that sort of...
Is that legal expense that just came up, is that in the operating portion, or is it down in cash and capital?
It's in the operating portion. I put it up there, and you can see under line 247, you can see they overspent quite a bit in that line because of that legal.
47, there we go. 317. It means that otherwise, in terms of their operations, other than that hit, they're actually doing better than expected, but that hit knocks them backwards.
Yeah. Then of course you have to also add in the thing about the cash actually not being there from that, you know, the stuff I just mentioned. That cash won't be there either. So you have to sort of subtract that to get a sense of where they'll actually end up in terms of cash in the bank at the end of the year.
Got it. But of course we're not counting the fact that they started the year with a considerable cash balance.
That's true. They do have savings. But it also means they'll probably have to dip into those savings.
Okay. Well, that covers what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I get on the stack?
Yes, please, Rudy.
Lonnie, I'm looking at the BAI. In your projections for BAI, you have in there the cost of the new contract. Has that been factored in?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I'm asking, because we're sort of informed that we're in a bit of a pinch, almost a crisis. At least one layoff so far.
The question is, what is the truth?
Rudy, you need to start over. We couldn't hear all of what you had said.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's our understanding that the station is in a bit of a crisis because of this new contract, financial crisis. and we've had to implement one layoff, and I don't know what else is down the pipe. But looking at these numbers, and even currently we're ahead of the game. As I say, back to the $100,000 of restricted donation, and even projected for the year, we would be just about break even. So I'm trying to figure out which is the real picture at WBAI.
Well, I'm reading from line 790 under column Y, which I assume you're referring to that number two.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at that line 790 under column Y, the projection is that WBAI will have $144,000 in the bank against a budget of $19,000, and so they would have a positive variance of $124,000. However,
is that 140 or 120?
I got
140. 120 in
Y790 and 100 in AA790. Yeah, so you do have to subtract $80,000 of a $100,000 gift because that will not be there in terms of cash. So they actually will be, coming out with a variance of about $40,000. And that's sort of like break even, you know.
Right.
And so, here's the but. The but is that as they look forward to that next month with no reserves, there is the issue of how will they manage between, September 30th and October 1st. That means they spend about $250,000 a month at WBAI. So what's their true situation?
Mm-hmm.
The true situation is that, they have a chance of mulling through if they don't have a bad May drive. If they have a bad May drive and they don't come close to budget, then WBAI's got serious problems. That is to say, remember, they had a drive based on 900 goal and only actually did 650,000. So if May is replicated, that is, if this drive in May is similar to that one, they'll be $300,000 away from goal, and that goal's a serious problem. All of these numbers will change, and they'll be negative.
Okay, but your projection, you assume what kind of drive?
I assume that they're preparing for drive and would meet goal. And we'll know in 20, 25 days how well they do.
Mm-hmm. But at this point, you factored in the additional labor costs here.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about what Bruce just said?
Yes, please, Dave.
The current year-to-date on BAI shows them behind relative to budget on income by $62,000. So is it really a reasonable assumption that the budgeted amount comes in?
If you look down, you see on listener support, they're down by 62, but overall income, they're up 58 because they really have stress off-air fundraising.
I'm looking at total income, line 672. Current
I'm looking at 658. And line 672, total income projected to be 3.6, budget's 3.5. Total income.
Oh, I see. You're talking about the year, the projected year. Okay.
Yeah, year end. That's where I go because in any given.
Stuff's variable. Yeah.
Yeah. So amazingly, they did great work in doing donations. Look at that number. And so they have done that work, and I was talking with Andrew about it. And so they have done some off-air work and a lot of work in that area. So now if they don't have a bad drive, or all bets are off.
But if you look at line, we're looking at 672, this is LaVarne.
Yeah.
If you look at year-to-date on income, they're down by 62.
That yeah, that's true.
But that varies month by month because of the way they've advertised.
This is year to date.
Yeah.
I know. But if you look at K, our year to date we're behind, but our projected we're ahead.
When you're saying if the May drive is successful, right?
And also sometimes people are under budget, and you're dealing with more of a budget issue than a real dollar issue. Sometimes people underestimate their on the budget side, so it creates an overestimate on the budget side, so it creates a variance. So you really have to just look and see how they look
against, say, previous years, and whether they over-budgeted or under-budgeted for a given drive. So you remember these budgets are done monthly. But, you know, it's, they do go up, they do go down. That's why I always try to see how it will end after 12 months.
Right, because the question is that on year-to-date, if you just look at listener support,
yeah,
I'm 658,
yeah,
if you're under by 123,000, and then if you look at the future period, you're saying that you're going to be over by 166. So you're saying you're going to do, what is that, 300 additional,
yeah,
more over the next 6 months or 5 months?
Yeah, they'll what they usually do to make it up is they do a summer drive.
They expect to make about 300 on the summer drive?
Yeah, yeah, that's their pattern. That's what they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they do not budget that.
Normally not. They just hope they don't have to do it, but then
well,
they end up having to do it. So there you go.
Yeah, well, I think that's good budgeting, that you should not put it in there. But if needed and you get to this point, that would be great.
Yeah,
you
can get it.
We can talk about budgeting and revenue.
No one likes to do the summer drive, but they all do it if they have to. Remember, we are also seeing this year where people have had to extend the number of days in the drive. Now, this May, we're up against Memorial Day, so it's hard to extend those days now.
Yeah, that's true. So let me just say, still on BAI, looking at line 684, the salaries, there's a variance of $30,000 negative, and then on your forecast is 43,000. So I can see in terms of their income, the revenue they'll be able to generate, you'll take care of a lot of it. Those variances will be offset by that revenue.
Yeah, it's true, but you know, again, WBI having no reserves.
Yeah.
Places
the 1 month. Yeah.
Lonnie, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Rudy.
The major donor line, 665. This has always come up at our finance committee meetings. For some reason, that income is being recorded against a line in which there's no budget.
Yeah.
And our understanding is that it should be against, I guess, 659?
Yeah, actually, that major donor income, when we do the audit, is actually part of listener support. Now, many stations, you have a fund development officer who really needs and wants to see what the major donor income they work at. They want that to show, so we do show it so that folks can see what the major donor income is. And fund development people do want to have that be shown in these financials. But in the end, it'll all be part of listener support. A second reason also that you'll find that some funds are put in major donor income is because they're really major donors, and you do want to know, you know, how much is the major donor income from the smaller donations that we get. And also, it's a source of savings for some stations. And as much as they put it in major donor income, there's no central service charge because it's not in listener support. So we're aware. But in the end, when we do the audit, all of that does get taken care of.
And isn't there a definition that if someone pledges, $500 or more and doesn't ask for a premium, there's something within the drive in which if you pledge over a particular amount and you don't ask for a premium, that you don't get grouped in with that listener support, you become a donor?
That is not our actual policy, although only one station actually does that.
And
but
who is that?
Who's that, us?
Well, see, KPFA used to did that before, I think, 2 years ago. That was, I believe, the practice, but that was changed. So that, you know, you're really showing major donors that's raised by your development director or, you know, the gifts that come in versus using that rule of over $500 as major donor. So are we going to have a consistent policy implemented?
Yeah, you know, one of the things to do it is to do it with changing the accounting chart of accounts so that people are using the chart of accounts in the same way. And that's part of how we got here. Some folks were taking the over 500s and over 500 donations and putting in a major donor, not counting them as listener support, even though they might have come in as a result of an on-air drive. So we will have to, at that point, try to get consistent. reason I'm not overly concerned is because it will be part of listener support when we do the audit, and the auditor will make that change. Because also CPB does not recognize a difference between major donor income and listener support.
Right. Well, you know, I certainly would support that we keep it in major donor, because then you don't have your contribution on there. But, you know, if there you have the option of using it, I mean, I will certainly advise KPSA to go back to that. But anyway, but you will... attempt to do a consistent application of major donor or in terms of the fund drive income, whether it's all major income listener support or some exception with the $500 rule.
Yeah, I do recognize the need for fund development people to know, you know, well, how their efforts have paid off in terms of major donors.